Welcome to On DOD on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, your host, Jared Serbu.
And thanks for listening this week. On the program this time, we welcome back the senior leaders from the Navy's Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems. Folks from PEO EIS first joined us back in March to introduce a new IT acquisition concept they call the Innovation Cell, designed for discovery, procurement, and then rapid insertion of commercial technologies onto Navy networks. Now, after having issued three enterprise challenges to industry, the Navy has made its first awards under that Innovation Cell concept, one to upgrade the fiber optic links on Navy bases, and another to expand the Navy's use of virtual desktops. Our guests for this are Victor Gavin. He is the Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems, and Dan Del Grosso is the PEO EIS Technical Director. We spoke at the PEO EIS offices in Arlington, Virginia. Victor Gavin starts us off with a quick recap of what the Innovation Cell concept is all about.
It's a new framework for identifying challenges and sharing those across the industry, and then discovering and implementing the solutions that come out of it. Our primary goal in launching it was speed to market. As you know, in the space of IT, the marketplace changes so quickly. And one of the major challenges we have in defense acquisition is our ability to keep pace. And we launched the Innovation Cell with the primary objective is speeding our ability to adopt and adapt those products and techniques into our environment. And I must say, we're well on our way of achieving our aggressive goal of 1 year from concept to delivery.
Broadly, how do you think you've done so far? We're, 7 months into the process since you launched these three enterprise challenges? Just to focus on that speed to market piece, how have you done, and when are we going to see some actual results here?
I think we'll announce some of them today. I think we've done, in general, pretty well. Could we do better? First time out the chute, absolutely. But given our starting point, I'd say pretty well. We are about, for two of the three, are going to tell you here today that we are making selections, and our integrator is well on the way of implementing those solutions into our network.
The network being, so we're going to fold. Yep, we're going to fold these two things straight into NMCI. So let's go straight into the news here. What out of these two enterprise challenges that you're announcing today, what did you eventually settle on?
So for one, we'll take them in order here. We've had enhanced virtual desktops. Mm-hmm. Was one of the primary challenges here, and we took a great opportunity to define the true government requirements there, based on industry input. And it was determined through that refinement of those requirements that Centrix, VMware, and the HP tools for infrastructure were selected as the top performers out of it. And HP, our integrator, will be integrating those tools along with those companies to get this capability into the network, onto the network.
And what kind of scale in terms of deployment of these desktops are we talking about? Yeah, I think back on Industry Day, you were talking on the order of tens of thousands of actual seats, right?
Certainly has that potential. I think from a virtualization standpoint, we all believe that virtualization of your desktop is where we're heading. The pace of which we'll reach the full scale is to be determined, because it takes more than simply the infrastructure of the desktop component to determine that. It also has to do with the bandwidth on the network. And we're making bigger changes on to increase that network bandwidth to make this technology more applicable to everyone on the network. So today we have about 5,000, a capability of about 5,000. And we see this new technology certainly enhancing the utility of those 5,000. And I expect it to expand as we modernize and improve the underlying infrastructure into the network.
Step back for a second and talk about why you want to pursue virtual desktop infrastructure, why that's a goal for the Navy.
Twofold there. There's a cost component to that. We believe virtualization and delivering this capability in a virtualized fashion certainly has its cost advantages. The second huge advantage is security. There's a huge advantage to virtualizing this data, and our ability to upgrade and modernize that infrastructure in a much more rapid pace is enhanced by through this virtualization technique.
And do you see this as supporting potentially offsite users and sort of a telework type of arrangement for NMCI users?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a third advantage you have here from teleworking and offsite. Privileges is certainly, mobility enhancements are certainly an advantage as well.
Mm-hmm. So is this sort of the beginning of the end of the traditional desktop within the NMCI environment?
It is certainly the beginning. I don't want to oversell the pace because, as I said, the infrastructure piece is critical. We have 5,000 of the users today. And admittedly, performance in given the existing infrastructure we have has been limiting. So this technology alone will not accelerate it. It's going to be more accelerated by the infrastructure changes than the use of this technology.
Okay, we can drill down more on that in a bit, but let's move on to the second one that you're announcing today. What else has come out of the innovation cell so far?
Yeah, the campus network architecture piece. We had some 23 respondents, and again, I want to thank industry for participating in both of these. We had huge responses, close to 100 responses for the three innovation challenges. There were some 23 in this area. For campus network architecture, and the government has determined that passive optical networking technology is the best solution here, and it was determined that Tel Labs had the best product in this area. And HP, again, is in the process of working the contractual issues of getting Tel Labs onto NMCI.
And then the third one was working with the folks over at N1 on data analytics in partnership with your Sea Warrior program. No award yet on that. Talk about where that particular innovation challenge is and why you're not quite at the stage of picking out a product or a service.
No, happy to. This is one of those areas where we had the probably the largest requirements definition piece was in data analytics. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the biggest discovery for us was understanding the state of the possible in this area. And I'm proud to say there are some 53 companies that submitted responses to that helped us refine our requirements. Where we are at this stage is there are five companies that we're working very closely with to prototype. We created what we call a sandbox, of which we are going to take these products and run real data through them to give us further help us further refine our requirements. And then based on those results, put forward a transition plan to get those products into N1's hand and to be used on our MPT&E environment.
So from those five, I mean, do you envision eventually down selecting to a single product or more of a suite of different capabilities that all provide different aspects of data analytics?
I guess I'll say it's to be determined. Again, because we're discovering the requirement is also being refined. I think as you might imagine in this space, there are different attributes to the products that will help us define exactly what we need as an output. So I guess I don't want today to tell you that the goal is to down select to a single product or a suite. I think the sandbox will help us determine what that actual outcome would be. And I look forward to it in the next quarter telling you what that outcome is.
Okay, sounds good. All right, and Mr. Gavin, I want to talk a little bit more about process as we move along here. Sure. But refresh our memories on specifically on the challenges that you were trying to solve with. We already talked a bit about virtual desktops, but with the campus network architecture, what was the issue that you were trying to solve with that particular challenge? Dan, you want to take that one?
So a lot of folks aren't familiar with the campus network architecture. It's basically restructuring the environment for the base specifically. And the Marine Corps is actually moving out on PON. And basically what it is the old architecture is point to point, a fiber run. You have the central management from the server to the endpoint. It's just a standard point to point. Whereas with PON, it's point to multi points. So you're actually using less fiber for more end users. So you have cost savings there with less central management of the equipment and the infrastructure.
That's Dan Del Grosso, the Technical Director in the Navy's Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems. He's our guest this week, along with Victor Gavin, the Program Executive Officer, as we talk about the first acquisitions under the Navy's new Innovation Cell framework for rapid IT acquisition. We'll come back and talk more about how the process has evolved and where Navy officials see it going next on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. Back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM, this is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. We are getting an update this week on the Navy's Innovation Cell for Rapid IT Acquisition, a project of the Navy's Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems. As we first discussed on this program back in March, the service is experimenting with a process of enterprise challenges to industry, outlining its basic technology gaps, and then letting industry respond with potential solutions via white papers and, eventually, an online portal. The Navy has now made its first set of decisions under that Innovation Cell framework, as we heard earlier in the hour. Out of three challenges the service first issued back in March, it selected vendors for two. Tell Labs will use its passive optical networking technology to upgrade the campus area networks on Navy installations, and PEOEIS picked HP, VMware, and Centrix for a new set of technologies that will provide enhanced virtual desktops to users on the Navy Marine Corps intranet. We're talking about the progress of the Innovation Cell with Victor Gavin, the Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems, and Dan Del Grosso, the PEOEIS Technical Director.
I would like to move on and talk a little bit about process, because this was the first time out with the Innovation Cell and Enterprise Challenges. Broadly, Mr. Gavin, what do you think you learned from the process, and what do you think you want to change going forward?
It has been a wonderful learning experience. And I think at the end of the day, though, there are elements we can improve, like anything else. Any process the first time out the chute. Let's start with the positive. Again, with 100 or so responses from industry, I am delighted that the feedback we got from, and the participation we got from the industry guys out there. The biggest challenge is, as we expected to have, and we did, is firming up those requirements. How are we dealing with collecting those requirements, refining our own requirements, and doing it in a time frame that enhances speed to market. So from that standpoint, I'm pretty pleased. And a lot of that deals with the relationship within of the PEO, between our PEOEIS Innovation Cell team and the transitioning program offices. Building those relationships, as if you recall back in March, I told you we were going to manage that ourselves and try to keep it on point. Mm-hmm. And I think we did. I'm delighted that the relationship that was formed between my program offices and the Innovation Cell. And that trying to make that handoff as seamless as possible. So at that point, I think we have done quite well. A couple of areas we can improve on, I'll say, is you know, while I was happy with the interface with industry, we will and plan to do a better job of how we communicate with industry. We originally attempted to establish a portal by which we could put all the data in, allow people to more freely have access to activities that are going on, and we weren't as successful as getting that up and running to date. Our goal is to certainly have that available next time. Dan, over to you. What are the areas you think we could improve on from your perspective?
Well, I'll echo what you said at the beginning. I think we're off to a very good start with the framework and with industry interaction. We had a heck of a lot more white papers than what we anticipated. So we're very encouraged by the participation. I think what we need to do now, and it probably won't happen this next go-around with the enterprise challenges, we need to get to a point where instead of asking the question, okay, what next two or three enterprise challenges are we going to be doing this year, we need to make the Innovation Cell framework basically our business model for how we acquire technology and deliver those services. And what I mean by that is we've had a long conversation within the EIS portfolio with the program managers about getting ahead of the game, shifting from playing offense instead of playing defense. Everything is here and now, and we're scrambling to deliver something that senior leadership wants. The whole intent behind the Innovation Cell framework in the discovery phase and the market assessment is start looking at those things after they come out of the R&D environment and finding that sweet spot to where we're already looking at it inside our framework and we're moving on it before it becomes the quote-unquote buzzword inside the Pentagon or with senior leadership. So by the time one of us engages with senior leadership and they're starting to ask a question on a particular capability, we've already been working it. And then we can comfortably say we're well within the one-year environment to put that on the network. So that requires a completely different way of engaging with industry. It's not just telling industry, here are our challenges. It's the constant dialogue day in and day out with what are the technology focus areas that industry has in play today, who's doing it, and what are they doing with it specifically, so that we can at least as close as possible mirror what industry is doing. So it's not anymore about just trying to figure out what the next enterprise challenge is. We already know what the technology focus areas are, and we're just keeping pace with industry at that point. So what I see is the framework basically split in two, to where you have the discovery phase and the market assessment on the left side, which is the early stages of what are we looking at next, followed by the technical assessment, and then the transition and pilot to production, we'll call it, to getting it on the network and in the user's hands. That's really where everything comes to fruition, but it requires a lot of that upfront legwork. That is one major thing that we learned this year, because I'll tell you what, the framework, the way it's rolled out, starting at the very beginning and delivering it in a year, we've done that with these three. But if we want to make it our business model, and we're talking about this is how we want to do business, we've got to get ahead of the game with industry early on, so it becomes just basically a seamless transition to the next iteration of technology.
And so just so I understand what you're talking about changing, as I understand it, the initial vision for the innovation cell was first you do an enterprise challenge statement, correct, and then you do the discovery phase. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're talking about inverting that. So you're always doing discovery and then using that process to decide whether or not we're actually going to buy something.
We're basically, information technology is so wide and varied that it's hard for the government and senior leaders to say what our requirement is. It's not like a platform where there were, building missiles, bombs, ships, subs. That's pretty well cut and dry. When you're talking about IT and you're talking about the variations of that IT, it's hard for us to say what a requirement is and what isn't. So we're relying on industry to help us with that. And again, to get out in front of that is, what are the technology focus areas that best complement Navy missions and our mission areas, and then have that conversation with the industry to get ahead of what those technologies are, start the process earlier, and deliver earlier.
And Mr. Gavin, it sounds like having some kind of interactive portal where that conversation can constantly go
absolutely
on would be
right.
Important to that,
we'll
instead of just saying, that. Send us a bunch of white papers, industry.
Exactly right. And that was certainly our goal here, and we fell just a little short, but I'm confident we'll get that going shortly. But the other thing I'll tell you, as far as improvements go, and this will, in some ways, we learned a lot from these first two. But we had a very clear transition point, contractual transition point, with the NGEN contract that made, that truly enhanced our speed to market. The real challenge we're going to have moving forward are when there are technologies that we want to adopt where that contractual transition point isn't as obvious. Mm-hmm. And our ability to actually go from the output from the innovation cell to a contract that does not exist. So I still don't think we've quite cracked that nut yet, but that's the next big challenge thing we have in front of us.
Of course, there's an NGEN recompete coming up at some point. Is that one of the goals in the next iteration of NGEN, is to create many more opportunities for tech insertion?
Absolutely. The recompete is one way of accomplishment, but keeping in mind that a lot of things we're trying to do under Innovation Cell are not just for NGEN. We're trying to make this an IT type thing, similar to data analytics. Now, that is not intended to be something that's delivered via engine. Data analytics can be done on with any application that's being developed out there. So that transition point may vary. And so we have to figure out how we go from selecting a tool to getting to getting in the hands of the users when the contract isn't as obvious as it is in these first two cases.
That's Victor Gavin, the Navy's Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems, along with Dan Del Grosso, the PEO EIS Technical Director, talking with me this week about the progress of the Navy's new Innovation Cell for Rapid Technology Insertion. We'll come back and talk more after another short break. This is On DoD on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbian. Thanks for listening to federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. Our guests this week are Victor Gavin, the Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems, and Dan Del Grosso, the PEO EIS Technical Director. We're getting an update on the Navy's Innovation Cell, a new framework designed to rapidly discover and then insert new commercial technologies onto Navy networks, using a system of enterprise challenges to industry rather than the traditional, more cumbersome acquisition process.
One of the explicit goals you guys had when you started this whole innovation cell process was to open the Navy's aperture a bit so that you're not just doing business with traditional defense IT vendors and that small businesses and garage innovators can come and show you what they've got going on. How would you grade yourself on how you did that this time around?
From what I've seen after looking at the 100 or so participants in this one very well. I think our message is getting out there. I was actually impressed by the variety and the diversity of the participants in that participated here. So I do think that message is getting out, and thanks to forums like this, I want it to continue. We want to always be looking at the small guys, the newer guys. And as you know, this business transforms a lot. There are a lot of companies that we didn't know it even existed when we started this. So we have to keep our ears to the ground when it comes to the ever-changing IT business environment.
And yet the awards that you're announcing today, basically big IT firms, traditional IT firms that do business with DoD. So what do you think you actually did get out of any non-traditional engagements or non-traditional vendors that you did hear from or talk with throughout the first phase?
Well, there's something to be said for gaining of knowledge. Mm-hmm. There's quite a bit to be said for gaining of knowledge and the awareness we gain in establishing not only the strategies for the innovation sale, but our strategies for small business engagement are also influenced by the things we're learning here as part of this process. So while a company may not have been successful with a specific innovation challenge, you know, the knowledge we learned about that company via this may influence other decisions we have in our acquisition portfolio.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, we talked about back in March the idea that you would define your requirements in this two-way constant conversation as you refined things down and got down into a final enterprise challenge statement with input from industry. Is that how things actually worked out this time?
Yes, and to Vic's point about the smaller companies, you know, when we went out with the three enterprise challenges earlier this year, it was twofold. Tell us what you can do for the Navy in regards to this challenge, but also help us sharpen that requirement. So, and that was from big and small companies. So from a small business perspective, there were some things that we may not have considered in our requirement. So even though a company may not have been chosen for the delivery of this solution, they certainly contributed to help, you know, sharpening that requirement and making it better for us.
Yeah, and I guess the other aspect I would continue on this page that I hope the industry got out of it as well is their interaction with us to understand, especially small business, how to work with us, the types of things we look for, the types of things we ask for, and these type things. So it becomes a two-way education piece. So we really hope that that industry got similar benefits out of this. We just recently had a small business IT engagement with at the DoD level, where we offered, you know, other small business opportunities based on some of the things that we've learned here as well.
Mm. I don't know if there's any way to quantify this or characterize this, but throughout the course of the process, how much did those challenge statements change as you got more feedback from industry about, as you guys have put it before, the art of the possible?
Well, it's hard to quantify that. They changed a little. I think most of the white papers that we received was more on the side of here's how we can help you. But we did have some solid input on how to shape the requirement. I think a lot of work went in on the government side, and the two particular ones under NMCI, where we had some background already, both for the optical network from the Marine Corps side, who's already doing that. So we had a pretty good solid requirement there. And plus with the enhanced virtual desktop, because we had HVD, the hosted virtual desktop, already on NMCI, we had a requirement there. So we tweaked a little bit. And with a few more inputs from industry, we were there. So we weren't necessarily starting from ground zero. Now, for the data analytics piece, as Victor pointed out earlier, that was the harder of the three, which is why we're still moving on that. And what we're finding is, even though we had a good general requirement about analytics, we're learning a heck of a lot from the 50 plus white papers that we received, hence the value of going over to O&R with the sandbox and even sharpening more on that requirement as we have industry come in and demonstrate for us what they can do in terms of a solution. But again, we'll be learning with that requirement, because there's a lot of things that we still don't know about analytics. We're having a data analytics summit probably in March that Department of the Navy CIO is going to be championing, for the simple fact that we're still trying to learn from each other and what's out there who's doing analytics inside the Navy, and who are they doing it with the industry partner. That's all still a learning curve. We're getting smarter every day on. So I would say that one in particular, we've gained a lot with the requirement, and it has changed because of that.
So one thing I'm still trying to wrap my mind around is how the process that y'all have set up differs from the traditional IT acquisition system, RFI, draft RFP, RFP award. Now that you've settled on a couple products for two of these enterprise challenge statements, how do you actually mechanically go put money on contract and buy them? Is this through other transaction authority, or how does that actually work?
For HP, I mean, we clearly have a contract with HP today, and like with most contracts, there are change clauses that allow you to change the product and change deliverable as long as within the scope of the requirement. And as Dan mentioned earlier, you know, both of these are well within the scope of the engine requirement. And what we're doing is simply changing the delivery mechanism as opposed to the requirement itself. Thus making the transition easier. So in typical contractual terms, that would come out in like an ECP, engineering change proposal, to the existing contract. Not exact terms we'd use in this contract, but for the purposes of our audience, that's probably the best way to describe what we're going to do here.
So, but let's say hypothetically that your whole discovery process led you to a piece of information technology that you wanted to acquire, but where there was no easy way. There's no predefined requirement, and then there's no easy way to quickly insert that contractually. What would you do with that? How would you?
And as I mentioned earlier, that is the area we need to focus on. Mm-hmm. That is the one from a time standpoint. Clearly, there's a standard process by which you do this. You would go up with an RFP, you would get bids again, and that typical process takes, you know, on average 300 days from the time you put the RFP on the street to the time you get a contract award, and then another X number of days to actually get it delivered. That's the part of the process we're trying to collapse. So admittedly, in these first two enterprise challenges, did not have that challenge, but that moving forward, that is the big elephant in the room. That's what we want to tackle. We can't, given Moore's Law, given that IT technology lasts on average about 3 years, we can't take 3 years to begin using it. So that's what we're trying to get our arms around next.
Understood. Talk a bit about competition here. As you said, you got a whole lot of white papers from a lot of different vendors, but maybe not necessarily in the same way that we normally think about competition in the government acquisition process. You know, maybe when people go file bid protests with GAO and potentially say there wasn't adequate competition here, you didn't necessarily solicit bids. How do you feel like you did on, you know, encouraging competition in this entire process, and would it stand up to a potential protest?
Well, I guess I'll tell you, I'll take it from the as is. Today we have a contract with a vendor, normally HP, that gives them the ability to make these decisions themselves. We could give them a requirement, have them decide themselves what the answer was. What I attempted to do with the innovation cell was to influence that as much as we could by allowing other people, allowing us input from other vendors to help influence that decision. So from a standard competition standpoint, we think what we've done has absolutely enhanced our current situation. The goal was not of the innovation show was not to make a blanket change to DoD 5000 or the FAR's broad acquisition standpoint. It was to say, given where we are today, how do we improve getting more people involved in this in engine, and how do we improve getting those products to market faster? And I think we, you know, given that as a metric, we're showing you that we've brought in new partners, we've brought in new companies through a government involvement in the requirement selection here, and are on the path to successfully delivering those to the fleet.
That's Victor Gavin, the Navy's Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems. He and Dan Del Grosso, the PEO EIS Technical Director, are talking with me this week about the progress of the Navy's new innovation cell and what's next for rapid IT acquisition in the Navy. They'll join us for one more segment in just a few minutes on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbian. Back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM, this is On DOD. I'm Jared Serbu. A few more minutes this week as we wrap up our conversation about the Navy's innovation cell. As we talked about earlier in the hour, the Navy has made its first vendor awards as part of that rapid tech insertion experiment, one for enhanced virtual desktops on the Navy Marine Corps intranet and another for fiber optic networking technologies on Navy bases. Our guests are Victor Gavin, the Navy's Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems, and Dan Del Grosso, the PEOEIS Technical Director.
Obviously, you guys are focused on enterprise IT here in PEOEIS, but I wonder if, having gone through the process for the first time, if you think that the innovation cell concept has broader applicability outside of enterprise IT, whether that's, you know, afloat IT or anything else that various Navy acquirers are responsible for.
Well, I'll say just the opposite is happening. I think there are a couple of other areas in the combat system world where a process like this already exists. My history is from the submarine combat system world, and they have a process as part of the combat and weapon systems delivery that is very similar to this, where they go out with working with PEO IWS and PEO subs. They go out with BAAs, solicit input from various industries in the R&D fashion, and deliver capability within a 2-year window. This process called TANG, I don't know exactly what those words stand for, is a model here. Additionally, there's a newer process that was stood up in the next couple of years for PEO LCS, mission modules, that is attempting to do the exact same thing, cut down on the acquisition time frame by having smaller competitive efforts in those spaces as well. So it's not strictly, I think you'll see the entire Navy going, understanding the need for innovation and the need to improve our speed to market in this area. Mm.
I would also add to that that our counterpart on the afloat side, PEO C4I, is also watching the innovation cell closely. They have received briefs from my team when we first started out, and they've been tracking the enterprise challenges. There's one in particular area that we're looking at from both sides, and that's mobility. I happen to chair the Navy Enterprise Mobility IPT, which PEO C4I is a part of. And one of the things that we're trying to collaborate on is applications management in the mobile environment. So you may see something either in the innovation cell or not, an RFI coming out in the not too distant future relating to applications management that may apply both afloat and ashore. We just had a Navy Network quarterly last week, and you know, one of the common themes was, what are we doing on the afloat side as opposed to the shore side? And we need to be seamless there and efficient so where there's value added to where we're not doing things differently. So we try to standardize where appropriate. The innovation cell may be a fit for that, and in this particular case, mobility. So we're going to see where that goes.
Got it. Going forward, Dan, I know you already told us you want to get into a rhythm where you're not necessarily just setting up challenges at the front end and then addressing them, but until you get to that point, do you all have a sense of what the next several set of challenges might be, or at least what the subject areas might be?
Not for today's consumption, but I will tell you it really goes back to that comment I made about the technology focus areas. We have a couple in mind. But I want to make sure that two things. One, it's relevant to industry today, and it's mirroring where industry is going, whatever we choose. But more importantly, that we inside the lifelines of the Navy and with senior leadership sees it as a priority as well. That was one of the things that we realized, obviously, early on in the innovation cell, that if we're going to label an enterprise challenge and put it through the framework and with the goal of delivering within a year, that goes without saying that that must be a high priority for the Navy. Yeah. Because, you know, within the NGEN program, we have 25 number one priorities. So where does the innovation cell fit in that, you know, priority scheme? So we got to be careful what we select, because with the resources that we have, there's no additional funding. We're taking it out of high. So we got to make sure that whatever we're pursuing is relevant and is seen high on the priority list as well with senior leadership.
Yeah, let me footstop that a little bit. I'll be more blunt. We will not have an enterprise challenge that does not have a transition plan. Our goal is not here simply to study technology. It's to transition technology. And that's how we're measuring success here. To study it and learn is great, but I don't want to use or industry's time in this process to do that. It's about transitioning. So if we start an industry challenge, I want within a year, as Dan said, to have that incorporated in some system, in a network or an application that the department is using. And before we do that, I will want to see the plan that shows where that transition is within that time period. Mm-hmm.
Since you've launched this process, are you seeing more and more requests bubbling up from the program offices that, under your charge, saying, hey, this looks like a good, this requirement looks like a good candidate for the innovation cell?
I believe so. I've seen quite a bit, not formally and informally, folks that want to use a process such as this to enhance their system or capability. Clearly, we're going to be, I don't want to overtax the process either. You're trying to put too much into it, you may get nothing out of it. So we have to balance the request for input to our ability to actually execute.
So, and we talked about this back in March too. What, you know, whether it's right or wrong, there is definitely a perception out there in industry that you're never gonna be able to participate on this NGEN contract unless you already have a relationship with HP and you're already doing business on NMCI. To what extent has the innovation cell proved or disproved that up to this point?
Good question. And I'm proud to say we disproved that. We've done some efforts to disprove that. While the first enterprise challenge on enhanced virtual desktops, we are modernizing what we currently have in place, which is delivered by a set of partners. I will admit the second one, however, campus network architecture, Tel Labs is not an existing NMCI or NGEN partner today. And I think through the efforts of the innovation cell and refining our requirements and the market research we've done, we have influenced the outcome there and have taken on or about to take on a brand new partner, Intel Labs, to deliver that capability. So I think from that standpoint, it has been proved very positive that we this process can influence and other people have a fair chance of being evaluated fairly as part of the NMCI NGEN process.
And just to follow up, just so I understand how the NGEN contract works in that respect, is it that the Navy can tell HP, we want to introduce a capability onto the network, and then HP is then responsible for deciding from a technical perspective which vendor or which particular service offering best matches up? Is that about right?
That is about right, in that we give them HP requirements, but those requirements are driven, in this case, those requirements are driven by our market research. So for the purpose of that contract, we cannot dictate subcontractors to them. However, the input that we provided based on our requirement drove the responses to, in this case, to Tel Labs.
Gentlemen, we'll leave it there. Thanks for updating us on the innovation cell. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Victor Gavin is the Navy's Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems, and Dan Del Grosso is the PEO EIS Technical Director. They joined me this week to talk about the first set of awards under the Navy's new Innovation Cell for Rapid IT Acquisition. If you missed any of our conversation, we'll post the entire program, as always, at federalnewsradio.com/ondod. And we'll also link to our earlier show from back in March, where the leadership from PEO EIS talked with me more broadly about the goals of the Innovation Cell and how it all works. That's going to do it for this week's edition of On DoD. Thanks, as always, for listening. I'm Jared Serbu. So long.
You've been listening to On DoD with Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. On DoD, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.